we've been studying this a long time, but in 69, hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Now, it struck me yesterday that John and I talked about it, that I always assume something that people tend to forget, maybe. And that is that the scriptures say that all the law and the prophets and the psalms, they prophesied only of him, only of Christ. And so the idea, the purpose of a prophet then was to reveal Jesus Christ. And from the day of his death and resurrection, there's no more prophets by what the mind says is a prophet, somebody that looks at the future. Because every prophecy, the only purpose of prophecy from God's standpoint was to reveal Christ. Now let's look at just a few of those. Let's go to Matthew 11. Does everybody understand that? There's no more need for prophets by what our minds think prophets are. And what a lot of them.
Well, the prophets of the old were foretelling the coming of Christ.
Right. Now the only prophecy is that which prophesies what has already taken, or just speaks what has already taken place.
What is, rather than what is.
Right. It's nothing about, it's not about to come. All right. Right. No more prophets, i.e. the ones that are telling the future. Because all the prophecy was fulfilled.
Once it came, everything was finished.
That's right.
Matthew what?
11. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law have prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah which was for to come. All the law, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That's all. The prophecy from telling the future is over. It's gone. There's all kinds of so-called prophets that are just, they're just idiots. They either say something, and you know, Benny Hinn claims to be a prophet.
Well, they're fortune tellers or future tellers.
Well, they're just goofy. None of it comes true. So, all right, let's go to Luke 24.
So the people that are speaking about the end times, and they're speaking about, you know, what this means and what that means and how it relates to Scripture or whatever.
They're dispensationalists.
John Hagee, those kind of folks talking about Israel. And
Israel is no more.
It's a cat cow.
All right, 24. This is when, well, let's just look at this again. Start in verse 13.
You're in Luke?
Luke 24, verse 13. This is when Luke and Cleophas were walking back from Jerusalem to Emmaus. That's it, in 13. And behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and it's not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And they said, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And this is where this is his rebuke. He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, in English, we could hear read that he expounded unto him in all the scriptures the few things that were concerning him. But that's not what it says in Greek. It says that in every scripture were things concerning him. Understand? Then it goes on in Luke, in verse 44, it says the same thing and it's elsewhere. But I just want you to see that don't be deceived. There are no more people telling you what's going to happen in the future. If they are, they're fakes. Anybody buy that?
Well, there is something going to happen in the future, right? I mean, there's no question that it's going to end in the future.
But it's already established.
What do you mean by that? It's established.
For us, that's already happened.
Okay, but in time, it's still going to happen. I mean, is it not?
Well, yeah, I mean, then when the seventh angel stands and says, he could have said, finally, the rebellion of God's people is over. Time now shall be no more.
I mean, that's a fact too, but we don't look at that and try to forecast it because it's not really our business. For us, it has happened, it's over. But that doesn't negate the fact that still it's going to happen in time. And that's where these people get their motivation, it seems, that they're playing in time, forecasting in time.
Well, I mean,
ignoring what is because they're doing that.
And it's all to have for them to have something to do.
Exactly. And that, to me, is the evil that the men engage in so that they don't have to pick up their cross.
Yeah, I mean, you got to see. That's what confessing the Lord Jesus means. Homologio. You see the same thing that he sees. He sees it's finished. He saw it finished from before the foundation of the world. But finally, he saw the final finishness at the cross. The last days, they're here. We're living in the age of Messiah. For us, the day is come, because Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The night is over. Now there's nothing. The day, remember what Jesus said just before he was crucified, the night cometh, and no man can work. Well, that night came. There's nothing you can do. Nothing I can do. Except be in agreement with that which has already happened. But you have to be in total agreement, not just philosophize about it. Right. You have a quizzical look on your face.
I'm sorting things out. John was a prophet. He was the last prophet. That's why Revelation works. And Revelation speaks to
all time.
all time? Well, does that mean?
Are you talking about that when you say the last prophet would be John? What Jesus was talking about, John the Baptist.
That's what I'm talking about. John the Baptist wrote Revelation.
No.
No.
No, he did not. Oh boy, I didn't know that.
The Apostle John wrote Revelation.
Oh, never mind. I didn't know that. I thought John the Baptist wrote.
No, John the Baptist was beheaded at the time that Christ started his ministry.
Never mind.
Unless he did it without a head.
Well, I'm not.
I'm kidding you.
Don't
kid you. Okay, I won't kid you. All right.
Well, was there a question there?
Yeah, I thought John the Baptist being the last prophet, if he was responsible for Revelation. I mean, the book of Revelation speaks to things yet to have happened. Mm-hmm. So it would be.
No, it doesn't.
Never mind. It doesn't.
The book of Revelation is always true at all times.
We've read passages of Scripture in Revelation about end times.
Destruction of Babylon.
Oh, the destruction of Babylon. See, I don't know that.
See, from God's point of view, the bride has prepared herself and has taken place. But that, from our point of view, has not been completed.
But
or why would we meet every morning? What are we doing? What's the community about? What's the
to exhort about? One another daily while it is still called today, so that nothing, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that's in Christ.
Right. And that's what's taking place. And on the, you know, you often said that it's going to end before you die. That's time dependent, that statement. So, what do you mean by that?
Because I mean two things. The most important one is for me, it's already finished. It's over. It's done. There's nothing to do.
Right. Now, answer the question. What do you mean by the fact that something's going to happen?
Because the rebellion of his people will finally be over, and the seventh angel stands, as he has, and hopefully in you and I. And he says, the mystery of God is completed in you as the temple. So you
right.
stand in agreement with him.
Yeah, well, this is where the tire meets the road on this whole issue to me, is that's what we have to see and get in agreement with. And that opposes everything in our minds which wants to put it in time. You know, that's what these conversations are always about. We, as man, can't get out of time. Without death, without reckoning ourselves dead and letting that reckon really be reckoned, not just a sentence.
Not give any breath to anything in your mind. That's what reckon yourself, mortify the.
Yes. Yes.
Not give any importance. It's just dribble.
Right. And fully accept that. At that point, revelation is revelation. It's all time. It never even started. It always has been.
Right.
And if you try and comprehend that with this gray matter, you just might as well dig it a hole for the day.
That's why the scriptures are always, there's always their parables. Because for it finished, and for spirit itself, because spirit is not time dependent, there are no words for it. So we repeat cliches like Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But what does that mean? It means that there's no time from God's standpoint. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, then obviously, since he's in total dependence on God, then God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's always, and so all that this is taking place is that we would be transfigured by the renewing of our minds. The bride has prepared herself. Because that's the only way that you will see and put on the righteousness of Christ is if you can't put on the righteousness of Christ as your life unless you see it's over.
And that's what it says in Revelation, and time will be no more.
Yeah.
Right there.
The mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no more.
Yeah. And that's the whole crux of everything.
And that was true back before the world began. But our mind, this is why everything is in a parable. Okay.
To jump around the line.
Well, I mean, let's take a look. If the least read scripture in the Bible was the book of Leviticus by Christians. And yet it is has more of the revelation of Christ than any other book of the Bible. Because it shows you what it means when he says that by one offering you have been perfected forever. Now that perfected is in every arena possible. His offering met every one of the innumerable subtleties in the law and all the grades of the offerings and all the who's it being offered to and for what for. It met every possible condition that a human being could be in. Except unbelief. And the only reason unbelief exists is because you still think that there's something to do. You still think that there's something to achieve. Normally what happens in that, you really don't like yourself, and so you try to do something in your mind, play tricks to get out of it. So you play tricks like, well, it's going to get, you know, that's this last enemy to be destroyed is hope, the Jebusites. Thousands of times you've been wearied in the greatness of your way. But you didn't say there is no hope, for you found the life of your own hand, therefore you weren't grieved. All of us. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Now the only thing left is faith that worketh by love. The power of faith is love. But never love for anything on earth. Love, you know, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's all the law and the prophets hang on that commandment. And if you do that, you will love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't do that, you'll try to have programs and you'll figure out things to do. How to get it done. Amen? Everybody understand that? A little bit? Okay. This is, they said, back to Luke. It says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Who was the first prophet? According to the Bible. Abel. Now let's go to Genesis 3. No, we're going to Genesis 3. We just went back to Luke so I could read what I just read. The idea since the world began.
Just a comment about what we just talked about. It's like, I feel like sometimes I have Jesus in a headlock.
You want to create him after your own image.
After my own understanding, my ideas, my everything. And it's like, and he doesn't resist.
No, because the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. But you must voluntarily always empty, never spending a second of time on musing about it. It's only the only possible way of being apprehended is by repentance. The only way of being, the only possibility for repentance is to see the futility and emptiness of everything else. It's not the things you should do. There's not one thing you should do in the Bible. It's a what is. You're either in time and space or you're in eternity. There's no in between. All right. Genesis 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, or again, another translation, by thy belly shalt thou be led, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And that's talking to your brain, your mind. The only thing you've ever eaten is dust. Because everything that you have eaten that has given you sustenance is time dependent. And as long as it's time dependent, it's dust. Even whether it be gold or silver or diamonds, it's still dust. Especially your image. I mean, that's dust of dust. Your ideas and your imaginations, which everybody worships. But now the prophecy is, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, or overcome thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first major prophecy in the Bible. And everything in the Bible after that is all about that one thing. That the mind is by your belly you shall be led, by your appetite you shall be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life, until the seed of the woman overcomes the seed of the serpent. That's why Jesus called the human race. Well, he called the Jews that believed on him, you children of the devil. Not because it's talking to your mind. That's the metaphor for what happened at the cross. I mean, at the curse. I mean, if you want to worship your mind and give any importance to what you think about something, I mean, that's just boring. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what I think about something. There's only one, there's no private interpretation of Scripture. Oh, well, I think it means this. Well, screw you. You don't have any right to think that. There's no private interpretation of it. It has to be uniformly true from beginning to end, saying one thing. Otherwise, you make it, oh, this is God's handbook. This is his rules for living, and having a family values, and a nice country, and all the other horse shit that goes on.
There are hundreds of private interpretations, all little pockets of...
And they mean nothing.
Yeah, and they miss the one interpretation, which is Christ alone.
All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 18. This is a big one. Well, that was pretty big, but we just read. We're talking about all the prophets have spoken since the world began, kind of thing. That's why we're doing this. Verse 9.
Chapter
18. Remember, we've studied verse 9 through 14. And it sounds like it's talking about what some other people do, but we studied it to show this is all your mind does. And we're going to read it real quickly. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Remember that to teach a kid that he should eat his potatoes before he eats the pie is passing through the fire. To teach a child that this is the right way is passing through the fire. Now, the point of it is, that was okay because your children and you couldn't have existed without having been passed through the fire. But when you are come into the land, the promised land, the New Jerusalem, then all of these systems are now forbidden. What?
Well, and that moment that you are come is when you have seen clearly the one interpretation.
No, the minute you are come is when you say, I present myself to you. And then these scriptures should kill you and make you see the idolatry and the witchcraft and sorcery that you're doing on a daily basis. And watch. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee, if you're empty, if you simply repent. You don't have to do anything else. But if you think, and if these things are the basis upon which you live, you can't even imagine repenting from them. And they're the most incredible evil that you can do. And that's why God doesn't care what religion you have on the outside. He only cares that this doesn't take place within you. And that the artifacts of the temple are in its proper order. All right. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou hast desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if we say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. But you don't have to be afraid of him, because he's an idiot. All right. You understand the whole concept of prophecy and what it means and what it is a little better? Remember, everything from Genesis to Malachi that we call the Old Testament, but also everything else in the world, if you had eyes to see, everything are either parables or types or allegories or prophecies of one thing, of Jesus Christ. And the four Gospels are four different views of him fulfilled. And the letters are the letters about his fulfillment in his people, or the lack thereof. And the book of Revelation is over all of time. Amen? What?
Well, so his church, you made a comment the other day, his church began in Abel or something like that, but I think you just was run down. His church actually began in the letters.
No. Everyone that saw him is part of the church. Abraham saw him and was glad. Isaiah saw him. Jeremiah saw him. Abel saw him. Because when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's no more trying to do it.
So anybody throughout any concept of time, it's not about that, it's about
right.
Israel.
Because all men died at the same instant. Got that? I don't need to do my little chart about how all men died at the same instant. I don't need to do that. You just make fun of me anyway.
Yeah.
All righty, anybody else? John? Carolyn? Anybody? You understand it all perfectly. What don't you understand? Take a big guy.